How many of you can think back to a moment of regret in your life? How many of you? I think all of us, huh? Me too. I put both hands up. Moments of regret. One that came to mind was when I was 16 years old. My mom had this very fine minivan. Yes, it was a Toyota. Remember those Toyota minivans that had no front end on them? Looked like somebody just chopped them off, right? So she had one of those, and that was I had the great privilege of driving that van around. Yes, the women loved it. And so anyway, so I'll never forget this one time in particular. I pulled up in the driveway of my house, and I went to open the garage door, and I reached up, and there was no garage door opener. And so I thought, well, I better look around for the garage door opener so I can get into the garage. So I sat there and I began to look around. I looked in the seat next to me. I looked up on the dashboard. I looked behind me and I started looking in the floorboard. While at the same time, unknowingly, I somehow took my foot off of the brake. And needless to say, I ended up getting into the garage. As in, like, literally smashed right into the garage door. That's a horrible sound and a horrible feeling. And I remember just going, no, that did not just happen. And the crazy thing was my parents were like 5 minutes behind me or something. And I remember going, okay. And so I put the van in reverse, backed out of the garage door, jumped out, looked at the van. I went, oh, you know what? That's not really that bad. And then I looked at the garage door and I said, holy crap, I'm screwed, okay? And I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, maybe I can, like, real quick go in the glove compartment and get the little paint, you know, that they give you. I'll just touch up and then I'll just be like, I don't know what happened, but I came home and somebody hit the garage and left. This is ridiculous, Dad. Who would do such a thing? But, you know, I knew that my dad was no dummy. Regret. That was a real moment of regret, one of many for me, unfortunately. But we all have regrets, don't we? Some of us have relational regrets, right? Maybe that person that you dated, that you regret dating, that creep. Maybe others of you, it was that creep that you married, right? Maybe there's regret. Maybe some of you, the regret is friendship. That maybe proved to be unhealthy for you. Others of us, we have financial regrets, right? Maybe an investment that's gone bad. Maybe it was we got into too much debt. Maybe it was that credit card offer you got when you were a freshman in college, and you said, "Yes, I will take this wonderful offer," and you're still paying it off. Maybe it's a physical regret of not caring for yourself well, not eating well, whatever it might be. We all have regrets. And, you know, the funny thing about regret is that I've never in my life met anyone who actually planned on having regret. You know, I've never met anyone who actually hoped that one day they would have some regrets to share with other people. You know, I've never officiated a wedding of a couple who sat down and said, well, you know, we expect this to work for maybe, about a year. Or better yet, let's have two kids. No. Let's have three and then get a divorce. No. Hasn't happened. You know, I've never met anyone who said, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invest my entire life savings in some stock that I know for a fact is going to completely go downhill and cause me to go bankrupt. Yes. No. Has never happened. No one plans to fail. No one plans to make a mess of their lives. But, you know, the question I think is, how many of us actually plan not to? Now, a few weeks ago, we started this series called Reset. Turn to the person next to you right now and say, Reset. Tell them, Reset. And this has been a series where we've been really challenged, I think, in some of the most important areas of our lives. A couple weeks ago, we started by talking about our time. Last weekend, we talked about conflict. Got a lot of notes and emails from many of you who said that was helpful to you. And if you missed it, I would encourage you to download the podcast on conflict. Well, I want to continue today by talking about another very, very important topic. I want to talk about our decisions. Yeah, the decisions that you and I make in life. Now, here's the thing. While you and I certainly know that we cannot hit the reset button on decisions we've already made and regrets that we're experiencing in life, the good news is that we certainly can hit that reset button when it comes to how we make future decisions. Which is good news, because if you think about it, you and I are bombarded with decisions every day of our lives, aren't we? We're bombarded with small, tiny, micro decisions. We are also bombarded by big, huge decisions. Some of you came in today, and you're right in this place of life where you're trying to make some big, life-altering decisions. We're faced with decisions all the time, and unfortunately, most of the regrets that we have in life can be traced back to many of the decisions that we look back at now, and we consider that to have been a bad decision, right? Or at the time, we thought it was good. We look at it now, we go, that was a horrible decision, right? Or we knew it was a bad decision, but somehow we convinced ourselves that it was a good decision. We convinced all the people around us it was a good decision, right? You've never done that. I haven't either. But look, here's the thing. If you haven't figured this out by now, okay, we as human beings, we do a darn good job at deceiving ourselves, don't we? Oh, we're so good at that. I mean, it comes naturally for me. You know, I mean, look, I can make a bad decision sound like a good decision. I'm good at that. I can justify it. You know, you can spiritualize it. You can make it sound beneficial. You can, you know, or we think things like, well, you know, this won't hurt anybody. I'm going to just do it one time. It's not going to hurt anybody, right? Or you know, I can quit whenever I want. All right, I know that it could be bad, but I'll quit before it gets bad. You know, I won't go too far because I know that I can handle it. Which is why so many of the greatest regrets we have in life, well, they began with the decisions we make. Why is that? Is it because we're bad people? Is it because we don't care? No, I don't think so. I don't think it's anything like that. I think the reason we end up making the types of decisions in our lives that bring regret isn't because we're bad people. It's not because we don't care. It's not any of those things. I think it's because, or at least it has a lot to do with the types of questions we ask as we're making decisions. Yeah, I mean, for example, the tendency, I think, for a lot of people when it comes to making decisions in their life is to immediately go to questions like what? Well, like, here's one. Is there anything wrong with it? Is there anything wrong with it? Whatever it might be, right? And like, the assumption is if there's not anything wrong with it, well, then it must be okay, right? If the Bible does not have a thou shalt not in front of it, well, then it's safe to assume that it qualifies as what? As a thou shalt certainly do if thou please. Right? And so, unfortunately, though, then that question leads us to another question, and it's a question we don't always ask it necessarily, but we do think it. It goes like this. How close can I get to the line between right and wrong without actually doing anything wrong? How close to the line can I get between right and wrong without actually doing something wrong? The Christian version goes like this. How close can I get to sinning and not actually sin? Right? How close can I get to the line between right and wrong without actually doing something wrong? It is a question that every young man has asked at some point in his dating career. Right? It's a question that every person who's ever been on a diet asks, right? How close to the line can I get? How much can I get away with? Still be okay. And then unfortunately, though, then what that question does is that leads to another question, which sounds something like this. How far, and again, we don't always ask this, but we think it, how far over the line can I get without experiencing the consequences? How far over the line? In other words, how unethical, immoral, how insensitive can I be and still be okay? Or perhaps not suffer consequences, right? How fast can I drive without getting a speeding ticket? Right? How far can I push that person without going too far? Right? How much can I fudge on my taxes and still be okay? And then the next thing we know, that initial question of, well, is there anything wrong with it, ends up leading us back to the question that many of us are facing even right now in our lives, and that is, how in the world did I get myself into this mess? Well, today what I want to do is I want to teach you a new question. I want to teach you a better question, a question that I think will literally change how you make every decision in your life. As a matter of fact, I would say this might be one of the most important questions you could ever ask yourself at any point in your life. And I promise you, it's a question that if you will embrace it and you will apply it to your life, you will find that the regret level in your life will go down. I promise. Now, before I give you that question, I want to take you to a scripture. In the New Testament, there is a book called Ephesians, and Ephesians is a great book. If you've never read Ephesians, or it's been a while, I would encourage you to read it or to at least revisit it. But I want to take you to Ephesians. Now, let me just sort of set this up. In Ephesians chapter 4, okay, you have the Apostle Paul. You've heard of him, right? The Apostle Paul, what he does here is he launches into this very practical section about life. And he hits all these things that, you know, he talks about bitterness, he talks about sex, he talks about marriage and parenting. I mean, it gets very specific, almost too specific. You know, it's like you're reading and you go, oh, I wish he could have been more vague. Right? Like, it'd be great if I had to, like, somehow maybe dig deep and interpret this with the original Swahili, just kidding, Greek, or whatever. But it's, like, so in our face, it's kind of uncomfortable, a little overwhelming even. Well, then, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, it almost feels like what Paul does, it sort of sums it all up, and he says this in Ephesians 5, verse 15. Listen, we'll put the words on the screen here for you. Ephesians 5, verse 15. So, I've said all that. So, be careful how you live. Don't live like what? Fools, but like those who are what? Wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the will of the Lord, or what the Lord wants you to do. He says, be careful, be careful, be careful how you live. It's almost like he connects all the, okay, here's what to do in chapter 4 with now in chapter 5. Now here's how you do it. And what he does here is he gives us almost like a grid or a yardstick or like a measuring device by which we can literally measure every decision in our lives. Would you read verse 15 with me again? Let's put it up on the screens. Let's read verse 15 together. Ready? So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Here's the deal. Perhaps all the questions that we tend to ask ourselves, okay, all the, is it okay? Can I get away with it? Is it legal? Is it considered immoral? Is it acceptable? Perhaps all those kind of questions could be replaced with this big one right here. Here it is. It goes like this, very simple. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Now, if you've been around the Orchard for any length of time, this is a question you've heard me talk about before. We try to teach our kids this here at Orchard Kids. Our students, what is the wise thing to do? Andy Stanley, he wrote a whole book on it. Fantastic book. But what is the wise thing to do? Now, let me tell you about this question. This is a question that will help us make better decisions. It is a question that will, okay, what really this question does is it in many ways takes us out of a very black and white way of making decisions. All right, so for example, this kind of question replaces the kind of thinking that says, okay, you know, just because there is no thou shalt not in front of it, what it says is, okay, just because there is no thou shalt not in front of it doesn't mean that it's an automatic thou shalt. Okay, this question replaces some of these ways of thinking, right? For example, just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Right. Just because it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical doesn't mean it's the wise thing to do. So what I want to do today is I want to give you three angles by which you can approach this question in your life. If you have a pen, something to write on, I would encourage you to write these down. If you have no pen, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. If you have no pen and you have a phone that has a camera, you can take photos of what's on the screens, whatever's easiest for you, okay? But let me give you these three, and let me start with this first one. It has to do with something that all of us have. It has to do with our past. All of us in this room, if you've been alive for more than a day, you have a past of some sort, right? We all have a past. And here's the thing about our past. While on one hand, it's very important that we don't get stuck in our past and paralyzed by our past, it is, at the same time, I'll say, very important that we pay attention to our past and that we learn from our past and that we allow our past to guide us into making wiser decisions as we move forward. Look, you know as well as I do, if you don't pay attention to, you know, to what got us into trouble yesterday, what's going to happen? We're going to make the same mistakes tomorrow, right? We're going to end up in the same position. Somebody once said this. They said, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. That's true, isn't it? See, look, learning valuable lessons from our failures, our mistakes, our whatever, whether it was your fault or not your fault, whatever it might be, okay, learning from your mistakes is huge because, first of all, not only is it a great learning experience, but it also is one of the ways that healing comes into our lives. You know, I've heard people talk about, like, don't waste your pain. Don't waste your failure. Don't waste your mistakes. We waste our mistakes. We waste our failures when we don't take time to learn from them. Well, what happens? Often, we don't learn from them. And so we end up making the same mistake over and over and over and over again. I talked to someone a while back who had just come out of another very unsuccessful, painful relationship. And their immediate response coming out of that was, oh, again? Oh, Scott, man, I mean, I don't know what it is, like the fifth in a row, man. It's like every time, it's like every relationship. Why does it seem like every relationship ends up the same way? Why? Well, you asked. Well, probably because they all started the same way. Or they were all conducted the same way. Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing about relationships, all right? I think sometimes we get this mentality. We think that swapping out the old and, like, upgrading to a newer version will somehow guarantee a better relationship. Does that work? No, it doesn't guarantee a better relationship. Are you kidding me? It guarantees insanity, right? It's like it's like doing the same thing over and over again but expecting different results. Why are things not changing? Because you haven't changed what you're doing. Right? It's like someone who gets too many speeding tickets and saying, you know, well, I'll tell you what I need a new car. No, you don't need a new car. What you need is to make some adjustments in how you're driving your car, right? It's not the solution. But listen, bad relational habits don't get fixed by just simply starting new ones. I wish it was that easy, but it's not. So one important way to ask this question is this right here. In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? Now, this is not rocket science here. But people miss this question all the time. Now, here's the thing about your past experiences. Your past experiences are different than my past experiences, right? Mine are not the same as yours, okay? Which means this, when it comes to making decisions, you and I are probably going to start at a different basis. Because now there are some times, obviously, you can open up the scriptures, for example, and there's a pretty black and white answer. Like if you wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to kill someone today. Okay, well, thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, I guess I won't do that then. And if you woke up today thinking that, leave now. No, but here's the thing. Okay, so there are times when there's not black and white answers, right? And so you have to ask this kind of question. Well, the basis that you ask that question from is going to be different than where I ask mine from, right? What might be a temptation for you may not be a temptation for me. All right, what is safe for me may not be safe for you, right? What's unwise for me may not necessarily be unwise for you. I mean, think about it, all right? Let's just say that a person's past points to having a very, you know, a highly addictive tendencies. And just addiction after addiction after, well, okay, here's the thing. It may not be wise, I'm just saying. If your past points to highly addictive tendencies, it may not be wise to travel to Vegas with your entire life savings in your pocket. Just saying. Come on. Show me chapter and verse. How about some of the just everyday parts of our lives? Think about like spending, okay? You go to spend money, all right? What does my past experience tell me about my spending? All right, look, if you have a history of spending way too much and getting in a ton of credit card debt, well, then maybe you don't want to use your credit cards, right? All right, in light of my past experiences of getting into too much debt with credit cards, what is the wise thing to do? Well, probably to use cash, pay cash, right? But that doesn't mean that it's wrong for someone else to use a credit card, right? Watching TV. If you turn into a lazy couch potato TV watching person, hey, when it's time to, you know, you move to a new house or you get a new kid, maybe don't order the 943 channel package. I'm just saying, but don't tell me I can't. All right, because I love 943 channels. It's great for someone with ADD. You can't even watch one show ever. Anyway, asking this question, man, you know, it might even point to things that you had no control over, things that happened to you in your past, that really happened, and that impacted you in some way, you know, and maybe even in a way that sort of predisposes you to certain weaknesses or to certain temptations that most other people would find, would have immunity from. So in light of your past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? Man, think about if you ask that question. What's the wise thing to do financially? What's the wise thing to do relationally? What's the wise thing to do professionally? Well, we don't just want to look into the past. It's also important to look into the present. That's right. This is a question that you can ask from this angle. Here it is. In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current what? Well, my current emotional state. In light of perhaps recent mistakes I've made, failures. In light of whatever it is that I have recently been through, what is the wise thing to do? A while back, someone had asked me for some advice. None of you are going to ask me for advice after hearing my examples of people asking me for advice, but see, that's why I don't counsel. Do counseling, because when I do counseling, people need counseling after that. So anyway, what was I saying? I have ADD. Oh, yeah. So someone had asked me some advice. Here's what happened. Their girlfriend got really PO'd at them because he friended his ex-girlfriend on Facebook. And she was mad. Woo! So he called me, said, I now I'm mad, because she's mad. because I don't think there's anything wrong with friending my ex-girlfriend on Facebook. And so he asked me, is there anything wrong with being friends with my ex on Facebook? Thank you for setting me up for success, friend. You know what I told him? I said, look, the problem is I think you're asking the wrong question. Okay, you're asking, is there anything wrong with it? I mean, what do you want? You want me to open up the Bible and say, well, in first, you know, dumb butt moves chapter 3, verse 4, first book of moron. I'm going to show you that. Yeah, because they had Facebook back then. So I said, I think you're asking the wrong question. I think the question ought to be not, is it okay? Can I get away with it? Is it not biblical? No, the question I think ought to be is, in light of where you're currently at, this relationship is currently at, what is the wise thing to do? In light of where your girlfriend is at, in light of where you are at, in light of the health of your relationship, in light of past behaviors, in light of, I don't know, insecurities that may exist, in light of the perhaps lack of trust because of something that happened, I don't know, or maybe it's even just preference, right? In light of all those things, what is the wise thing to do? See, a lot of the decisions we make are not a matter of them being either right or wrong decisions, right? I mean, again, just because you can doesn't mean you should, all right? Just because something is not illegal, immoral, or unethical doesn't mean that it's the wise thing to do. Look, what was wise in the context of yesterday may not be wise today. And on the other hand, what might be wise today may not be wise tomorrow. So you can't look at anything in your life and just say, well, it was okay 10 years ago. No, listen, life is seasonal. What may have been wise and may not be wise now. Things change, don't they? Positions change. Your influence changes. Roles in your life change. John Maxwell, he's talked for years about this, what he calls the leadership triangle. And the idea of the leadership triangle is that the higher you go in leadership, the less rights you have. Now, I always hated that, but that doesn't change the fact that it's true, right? The higher you go in leadership, the less rights you have to just react however you want to react. The less rights you have to say whatever you really want to say but probably shouldn't say, right? The less right you have to blow up or to act flippantly, the higher you go in leadership, the less rights, unless you're a politician. Right? And see, so here's the thing, okay? There might be things that are perfectly, you know, fine and are not illegal, they're not immoral, they're not unethical, and they might even be fine for the majority of people around you, but for you, because of the role that you're currently in as a leader, as a parent, as a spouse, as a fill-in-the-blank, it may not be wise for you now. Let me talk about this in the context that I know many of you can relate to. Let's talk about in the context of divorce. Now, divorce is, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Divorce is painful. It's painful for you. It's painful, and if you have kids, you know, it's painful for them. It's painful for anybody who it affects. And of course, no one plans to get a divorce, you know? I mean, but sometimes it happens, okay? And yet, big yet, okay, one of the things that always baffles the daylights out of me is how oftentimes before the ink even dries on the divorce papers, I see a person already in another committed relationship. Baffles me. Or worse yet, the divorce hasn't even taken place yet, and an individual is already looking before they're even divorced. Now, see, here's the thing. Okay, this is not about, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with desiring companionship. That God has put that within you. That's a beautiful thing that God's given you. So there's nothing wrong with desiring companionship. There's nothing wrong with wanting to move forward in your life. That's all good. That's all important. Okay, but that is not the issue. All right, the issue is, let's go back to the question. In light of what you've just been through, in light of perhaps years of negativity in that relationship, in light of how much baggage you might be carrying, in light of your chaotic emotions, in light of the pain that you're feeling, in light of your children who will be impacted, what is the wise thing to do? Now, see, my opinion is, just opinion, again, my opinion is one of the best things a person can do if they've just been through a divorce is to pull out a calendar and to mark a date 1 year from that day, okay? 1 year, and don't make any decisions or even form an opinion on remarriage for at least 1 year. 1 year. Now, Scott, is that in the Bible? No, but if you have one, hand it to me so I can beat the crap out of you with it. Yeah, it's a sword. I'll show you. Is that extreme? I don't think so. Maybe you think it's extreme. That's fine. Do what you think. But I will say this. I have never heard, ever, I've never heard anyone attribute their marriage problems to the fact that they waited too long to get married. But I certainly have known people who wish they would have. Man, I hear people say, man, I wish we would have taken 6 more months to work through some of the things we need to work through. Look, I always tell couples this. When you get married, okay, there's always going to be surprises that pop up in your marriage. You can't avoid them. Or you think you know that person. You don't know them as well as you think you do. Things will pop up. So why not take the time to eliminate as many of those surprises as possible beforehand? It's a wise thing to do. And for some of you, you might be on the verge of getting married. The issue may not be, should you get married to this person or should you get married at all? Maybe the issue is this the right time to get married? Yeah, but we already sent out the invitations. Don't you say that to me. I've heard it before. That's a lot less money than you're going to pay for those freaking divorce lawyers. In light of your past decisions, in light of your present circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? One more. If I were to ask you, where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be at in 10 years as a, whatever, as a father, as a mother, as a parent, as a, you know, financially, in your career, where do you want to be at in 10 years? Okay, chances are most of us in this room have at least some sort of picture. Now, it may not be 1080 HD. It may not be, you know, it may be like old Polaroid style snapshot. All right, it may not be very clear to you. It might be blurry, but there's probably some sort of image that comes to mind when you think about your future. Or at the very least, you certainly know what you don't want to be, right? Sometimes we know more of what we don't want to be than what we do want to be, right? But most of us have some sort of mental picture of how we hope the future will look. We may not have a plan how to get there, but we do have a picture. And so, making decisions, okay, listen, this is huge. Making decisions, even ones that seem very small, seem very insignificant right now, should be done with that image in front of you. Should be done with that picture in front of you of the future. Okay, in other words, look, today's decisions need to be evaluated in light of how those decisions will impact you next week, next month, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So here's the final angle. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Now, why is this important? Well, okay, think about it. Those of you who are married, you probably know this by now. The future health of your marriage is going to largely be determined by the decisions you make today. All right, listen, same thing with your children, okay? The type of relationship you hope to have with your children one day when they're grown and they're out of your house, okay, the type of relationship you hope to have with them has a great deal to do with the decisions you make today. The future, it matters. Listen, the influence you hope to have one day as a leader, the hope that one day someone will look at you and say, now that's a person of integrity, that's a person of character, has a great deal with the decisions that you make today as a student, as an employee, as an assistant manager, as a volunteer, as a fill-in-the-blank. Huge question. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Look, everyone, any of us in this room who have hopes, who have dreams, who have images of what we hope the future will look like, man, ought to be asking this question. In light of where you hope to be, man, there's some of us here today that even right now we're thinking, man, if I would have asked that question at some other point in time. In light of where you hope to be financially, in light of where you hope to be in your career, in light of where you hope to be in your schooling, don't be so short-sighted. What is the wise thing to do? Listen, those of you who are single, man, I love the single people of the Orchard. Those of you who are single and you hope to one day be married, all right, ask this question. What is the wise way to conduct the relationships I'm in at the moment? All right, how far are you going to go physically with your girlfriend or your boyfriend? How far? What is the wise thing to do? Because I know this, that first of all, you know that that's a question that you pray to God that your future husband or wife is asking right now. What is the wise thing to do? Look, just ask the question that you hope your future spouse is asking. You owe it to them to ask these kind of questions. Those of you who are in your 20s and 30s, maybe younger, maybe older, I don't know, you feel something in you, and I know this, you feel in you this desire to make an impact in this world. Man, there's something in you that you feel like, man, I want to put a dent in planet Earth. I want this planet to know that I was here. I want to be able to leave here and my life to have been about something more than just me. All right, if that's in you, and you desire to do that, and you hope to one day be that person of character, that person of integrity, ask yourself that question. What is the wise thing to do before you post that stupid post on Facebook? Before you post that photo of you on Facebook, before you make some of the decisions you're about to make in your life, what is the wise thing to do before you disrespect that person you work for? Before you decide to just abruptly leave your job with no notice and do it in a lousy manner, what is the wise thing to do? Before you just get up and you leave, listen, how you leave somewhere has a lot to do with how you're going to start somewhere. How you leave a church is important in terms of how God's going to bless you starting a new church. Same thing with your job. Same thing in relationships, okay? It matters. What is the wise thing to do, okay? Before you continue in your... Well, let me say it this way. Here's a question, okay? This is a good one for all of us to ask ourselves. What am I doing right now? Man, this is huge. Listen, what am I doing right now that has the potential to rob me of my future hopes and dreams? What am I doing right now that has the potential to rob me of my future hopes and dreams? This is the part where the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you. begins to deal with me. What are you doing right now that could potentially sabotage the things you hope for? Where do you need to reprioritize now? Who do you need to stop flirting with on Facebook? Who do you need to stop glancing at and giving the looks to in your workplace? What disciplines need to become a part of your life right now? What spiritual practices need to become a part of your life? Not so that you can develop spiritual practices so God will look at you and say, well, now I really love you. Now you're accepted. No. It's not about that. It's spiritual practices are about being able to hear the voice of God and keep that communication open in a really beautiful way. Some of you need to stop looking at porn on the computer. Because it's gonna go deeper. It's gonna affect you in ways that you're not thinking about right now. Some of you need to reach out, you need to ask for help. You need to reach out to a friend, you need to reach out to a pastor, you need to get counseling. Some of you emotionally, you've been damaged in your life. You've been hurt, there's been pain that you've gone through, and so emotionally you think you're okay. There's something there, there's things there. Here's the thing. Don't think for a second that you can somehow disconnect spiritual growth and spiritual development and spiritual health from emotional health. The two go hand in hand. And you might be in a place right now where there's something in your life, it just keeps happening, and all your friends, they know. And you think it's them. You think it's something else. Well, it's your circumstances. It's my job. It's this. Well, and no, it's like, why is it following me everywhere? Because it's in you. Look beneath the surface. See, above the surface, we see the ice, the tip of the iceberg is like maybe this big, and we go, well, I can handle that. No, what you don't see is what's beneath the surface. And so here's the thing. If you don't deal with what's happening inside of you emotionally, it is going to leak out in some really funky and ugly ways, man. It's going to impact your work. It's going to impact your spouse, your kids. All right, it'll become a lid in your life. It will limit how far you will ever be able to go. And so for some of you, man, for the sake of the future, man, because of the hurt, because of the pain, because of the things you've gone through that you don't think is a big deal, but it really is, you need to reach out. You need to get counseling. And if that's the case for you, I want to encourage you to take that step. One of the best decisions of my life was to get into counseling. And I know sometimes you've got to stomp on your pride. And I hear this all the time. People say, well, I just can't afford a counselor, like financially, I can't afford. Really? How much is your life worth to you, friend? How much are your children worth to you, huh? How much is your job worth? You can't afford it? I would say you can't afford not to. If you need counseling, call us, email us. We don't do counseling here at the church, but we have a great, great group of counselors that we work with, and we would be more than happy to recommend some counselors to you, and I mean that. It would be one of the best decisions you've ever made in your life. So what is it that needs to become a reality in my life? What is it for the sake of my future, for the sake of my kids, for their future, for the sake of my husband, my wife, my organization, whatever it might be, what is the wise thing to do? All right, listen, what are the three questions? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? The scriptures tell us that if we need wisdom, we don't have to beg God. We can just ask him. James chapter 1, verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What? You again? Really? Oh, man. It's like the third time this week that you're asking me for wisdom. What's wrong with you? Go read the book of Moron. Huh? What's wrong? No. He is ready and he is willing to give you wisdom. And can I tell you how he oftentimes gives me wisdom in my life? It certainly isn't through an angelic choir that pops down into my house and sings songs of wisdom to me. No. You know how God gives me great wisdom? I'll tell you how. Through people like my wife, Amanda. Through mentors. Through good friends that I've surrounded myself with in my life. Through advisors. Through the team that God has placed around me. You know, I make very few solo decisions in my life because I just know me. I know me, and I know how easy it is to let Scott's way get in the way of God's way. Listen, don't try to do it on your own. Man, don't try. Seek the wisdom. Seek the counsel of others. The scriptures tell us that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, as a church, we have a lead team. We have an elder team, a board of directors. That's what we need in our lives, I think. I mean, what if you had in your life like a personal board of directors, huh? I mean, what if you had people around you in your life? Dude, do you realize how many fewer mistakes you'd probably make? Hey, I'm kind of sensing this. What do you guys think? Look, if you're afraid to ask that question to those who are closest to you, then let that be a warning sign that maybe you're about to make a decision that isn't wise. But man, you need those people who ask tough questions you can lean into for guidance. Who is it in your life? What is the wise thing to do? Do you know what I think churches are pretty good at? Churches, I think, are pretty good at focusing on trying to tell people what they ought to change in their lives. Change this, change that. But what I think is the churches are a lot better off helping people learn how to ask better questions. Because if you think about it, asking better questions is going to lead to better answers. And better answers are going to lead to better decisions. And better decisions are going to lead, well, to what? To wisdom. It's going to lead to that regret level in your life going down. I want to encourage you this week to take some time to think about these things. To allow yourself sort of some space for unfiltered thinking about some of these areas of your life, to really evaluate where you're at in your life financially or relationally, spiritually, morally, professionally. Think about your life in the context of those questions, in light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams. What is the wise thing to do morally? What is the wise thing to do professionally? Relationally, what is the wise thing to do? Paul says it well. Ephesians 5:15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a God who, on one hand, I mean, the creator of the universe, the cosmos, I mean, that goes beyond anything any of us can even imagine, yet who cares about each and every one of us sitting in this room today. Thank you, God. And God, what I want to ask is that you would give us courage as we leave here today. Also, I ask that you would give us maybe a new picture in our minds. God, help us to imagine what it might look like for us to really, even in the way that we lead our families through the lenses of this question. I mean, imagine our marriages, the organizations, the companies that we lead, our jobs. Imagine a church full of people. Imagine a community of people who gather here on the corner of Barnes Road and Galena Boulevard in Aurora. who are asking these kind of questions in their lives. God, would you bring it about? Would you fill us with courage? Some of us need to go home today, and we need to make some hard decisions. For some of us, there's some things we need to stop immediately, and we're afraid to stop because it's all we've known. God, for others, there's some of us who there's things we need to start doing. So whatever it is, would you blanket us with great courage? Would you just take a second, just right where you're seated? Would you ask God to do that for you? Maybe this whole church thing is very new for you, and you're still kind of uncertain about it. You're not even quite sure that you agree with what you're hearing or whatever. But one thing I think we can all do is just take a look at our lives right now. And we can ask God to give us courage to take whatever that next step forward might be. Thank you, God, for hearing us. Fill our hearts with courage as we leave this place today. We pray that together. And we ask that in your Son's name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.